Today is April the 26th, 2020. And if you would, please look in your Bibles at 2 Peter chapter 1. Last week, I mentioned that, of course, we're all praying and very much looking forward to life getting back to the way it was, but nobody's going to just flip a switch and then everything's fine now. It's going to take a process over time. And as we are moving forward, whatever impact this has had on your life, for some more, for others less, we need to keep in mind that as we move forward in this, we are going to definitely run into people that have been and will still be stressed and worried about finances as well as many other things. Some people may be grieving for someone they knew. People have been and will still be angry and upset at politicians and government leaders on both sides of the aisle about all sorts of issues. I don't think that's ever going to change. Some people will be afraid. You know, is it really over? Is it safe? Is the plague still out there? And if you were with us last week, we ended here in 2 Peter, and I thought this would be a great place to start this morning because we're still living in uncertain times. There's lots of unknowns about how things are going to be as we begin to reopen our country. It's strange to even say that, reopen our country. Who's ever even heard that phrase before? But there is information out there, as I mentioned before, sometimes conflicting information. There's an abundance of blaming everyone and everything, although kind of rare to hear anyone blame the devil, the true enemy, the thief. And in these days, if we ever needed God's grace and peace, it's now. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Boy, in verse 2, grace and peace. Is this not what people need today? God's blessings on their lives through his grace. And grace is unearned, undeserved favor. Any objections to having more grace added to your life? How about multiplied? That's what it says. And peace. Amidst all the confusion, all the noise, all the worry and anxiety and fears, any objection to having more peace multiplied to you? What a great message in God's word. Grace and peace multiplied, and it's multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then, of course, in verse 3, it said the same thing about through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. In the pages of this book, we discover who God is and what he can and will do for us. And then, you know, we read those exceeding great and precious promises. And as we believe his words, God brings his word to pass in our lives. Grace and peace is multiplied to us. I'd like you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you would. Back up just a bit there to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. A verse I'm sure is probably familiar to most of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." This scripture is not addressed to every person on the planet. It's speaking to those who are born again of God's Spirit. And I think you'd agree, this is indeed an exceeding great and precious promise. All grace, abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, you may abound to every good work. Let's just think about this verse for a minute and consider it. You know, kind of let it sink in a bit. This verse is very clear that it is God who is able to provide this for us. If you've ever been in an interview for a job, they usually tell you about the benefits of the company. You know, what they offer, hell, you get this vacation pay, and here's the insurance we have, and yeah, we got a 401k and all these things. If you've ever been in an interview like that, did anyone ever say to you, oh yes, and as part of our benefit package, we offer you all sufficiency in all things so that you may abound to every good work? Ever happened to you? Not hardly. So then, who or what is our sufficiency? Our job? Our government? Your stocks or savings account? Jobs can end, sometimes suddenly and unexpected. You know, that's happened to me 3 times in my life. Governments can fall way short and fail. Stocks can plummet in 1 day. And yet, this one verse goes so far beyond economic losses or inefficient governments or job layoffs, or for that matter, this promise goes way beyond anything we may encounter in our lives. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, we just read in 2 Peter, grace and peace multiplied to us through a knowledge of God. And look at the knowledge of God we're reading about here. It says all grace, not just a little bit to get by, not a temporary fix. All grace abound toward you and me, so that we would always have all sufficiency in all things, so that we could abound to every good work. Boy, think about this. Is this not something people need to hear? Especially in the days we're living in. So, is this really available? Do we believe it? Can we trust God to do this? Can we rely on God to fulfill this specific promise? This verse begins with, God is able. And you know something? If he's able, then he's willing. I mean, if he wasn't both able and willing to do this, why do you have this written to us to read in the first place? Well, God is able. The question is not, can he do it, or will he do it, or even how will he do it? The question is, do we believe it? Because we receive God's promises in our lives when we believe what he says. Believing is trusting what God said. Believing is having absolute confidence in what God said. Believing is relying on God's reliability. When we know a really good plumber or an electrician or car mechanic, you know, someone that's done some really good work for us in the past, we call them up when we have a problem because we trust them. Right? We have confidence in them. We rely on their reliability. We don't even give it a second thought. Just call them up. And if something is leaking and that plumber says, well, you know what, this needs to be replaced here and I can take care of it, we're like, okay, let's go for it. Let's do it. If you would look at Numbers chapter 23, we learn more about God in his word. And this, I'm sure, is probably familiar as well. But in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Again, grace and peace multiplied to you through a knowledge of God, right? Look at the knowledge of God we're reading here in Numbers 23. We learn three things about God in this verse. First, God does not lie. His words are true. All his words are true, including what we just read in 2 Corinthians 9. He does not lie. Secondly, God does not repent, and repent means to change his mind. God's not going to someday go, you know, I don't think I'm going to make good on that all grace abound toward you so that you're always having all sufficiency in all things and you can abound to every good work. I think I've changed my mind on that one. God does not do that. God does not lie. God doesn't change his mind. And thirdly, because he said it, he's willing to do it. He has spoken and he's willing to make it good. So, if we can trust a good plumber, why can we not, with the same confidence, the same trust, believe the words of God and rely on his ability and his reliability? Well, we can. And you know, not only that, but think about this. We can help other people by directing them to the one who is able and willing to make all grace abound. We recommend good plumbers or electricians or mechanics to people, don't we? You know, find out somebody has a problem. And, you know, I've got a really great plumber. Highly recommend him. We've used his services for years. If you live in this area and you need a plumber, let me know. I'll get you in touch with Marco. He'll do a great job. So, you know, we recommend plumbers or electricians or car mechanics because we know they can help. We can certainly direct people to the one who is able and willing to make all grace abound. In these uncertain days we're living in, when we find people who are hurting for whatever reason, pandemic related or not, we can direct them to the one who is able and willing to provide all sufficiency in all things. Take a look at another familiar verse in Ephesians. Wow, we're going from one end of the Bible to the other and back and forth. That's fine. This is another very familiar verse in Ephesians chapter 3. Towards the end of the chapter there. You probably already know where I'm going. Verse 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Yeah, how about it? Let's give him the glory. Why? Because God is able, as it says in verse 20, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above. Oh my goodness. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So why not ask? More than once. We can always ask. Speaking of asking, look at James chapter 1. James 1. It says in James 1, verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom..." Well, too bad for you. No. Aren't you glad it doesn't say that? "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith or believing, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." When we don't know what to do, we can ask him. But as we just read, it says to ask with believing, absolute confidence, not hoping he might answer or just going through the motions, I guess I'll pray. No, no, we ask with complete trust and confidence, relying on his reliability. Now, someone might say, well, is God really listening when you ask? Well, I know that God said in his word in 1 Peter 3, The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. I know that God said in his word, in 1 John 4, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Yes, indeed, God hears our prayers. And sometimes someone might say, well, yeah, well, I've asked before and I didn't get an answer. Do those verses I just read say that God will answer you in an instant? In fact, are there any verses that indicate that God is going to give you an instant answer the moment you ask? Let's think about this for a second. What is asking God? Is it not petitioning God? It's prayer, right? Okay, what do we know from God's word about prayer? Didn't Jesus teach about being persistent in prayer? Remember the parable in Luke? You know, men ought to always pray and not faint, and then he gave that wonderful parable. Keep asking. God's ears are open. And he said, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We keep asking. Why? Well, one reason is because he has promised to make all grace abound toward you, so that you always have all sufficiency in all things, so you may abound to every good work. He has promised to do for you exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. He said, if you need wisdom, ask. He's promised to give you wisdom liberally. So we keep asking. Remember, Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. Have you ever submitted a resume when applying for a job? You know what a resume is. That's where, you know, basically it's a summary of all your experiences and your skills and, you know, noting all of your accomplishments, you know, that show that you're qualified for the job that you're seeking. In that sense, the Bible is God's resume. In the Bible, we read about his great skill and power and accomplishments in so many different situations, and for individuals, for groups, for cities, even whole nations. The more we read and understand this book, the more we see just how great God is. Grace and peace multiplied to you through a knowledge of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 3 is another familiar verse. Proverbs chapter 3. And in verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means not halfway, not haphazardly. It means you're all in, completely, no doubt, no hesitation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then it says, lean not unto your own understanding. You know what your own understanding is? It's all your conclusions. All you can figure out, all the facts and stats you know, the current circumstances you're aware of. And you know what? That's exactly what the children of Israel did in the record that we read last week in the book of Numbers. Except for Joshua and Caleb, they leaned on their own understanding. Remember that record? Oh, the people, they're too big. The cities are walled. We're not strong enough. We're all going to get wiped out. They all became full of fear in what they saw and heard. And as a result, they did not trust God. And you know, there's a number of records in the Bible that you can read that show that. You know, like when the army of Israel was facing the Philistines and big old Goliath, everyone was full of fear because they were leaning on their own understanding of what they saw and heard. Everyone except David, who trusted in God. Now, make no mistake, circumstances and facts may be real. We're not denying that. You know, whatever situation we're up against, circumstances, facts, they may be very real. We don't deny that. Well, there's nothing going on here. Everything's fine. I'm just blessed. But here's the point, and it's very important. Regardless of any and all facts or circumstances, are they too big for God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth? If the problem's bigger than our God, then we need a bigger God. But the Bible says there's nothing too hard for God. So here in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all our heart, all in, no doubt. Why? Because he's able. And we are not to lean on our own understanding. And then verse 6 says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Acknowledge him. We choose to believe his words. We choose to put all our trust and confidence into what he has spoken. And here's his promise. He will direct our steps. Boy, doesn't that give us some confidence to keep asking, seeking, knocking, and expecting his help, his grace, his direction, his protection, his provision, regardless of what's going on? His ears are open to our prayers. He's promised to direct our steps. He's promised to give us wisdom liberally. He's promised to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. He's promised to make all grace abound toward us so that we always have all sufficiency in all things so we may abound to every good work. My goodness, those are not just some really nice benefits promised by a prospective boss. They're not stock tips from the best market analyst. They're not an aid package from the government. They are the words from God Almighty. And do we believe them? Do we believe him? Do we have absolute, unwavering reliance on his ability and his reliability? In Jeremiah 32, it says, ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heaven and the earth by your great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you. Also in Jeremiah 32, it says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? You know, when we read in the Bible, it's so abundantly clear that God really is able. His power is unequaled. You know, God tells us, look, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. God has solutions we've never even thought of. God is able and he's willing. Believing God's words means we're trusting God, having complete confidence that he's both able and willing. And at times, we may struggle with believing that he's willing to do it for us. And when we struggle with that, we do not receive. I'm sure you've heard phrases before like, God's ability equals his willingness. What he's able to do, he's willing to do. But just memorizing a phrase is not the same as believing God's word. The main reason we may struggle with his willingness at times is because we know all too well our own shortcomings, don't we? We know our falling short. And if we focus on that, our shortcomings, our falling short, if we focus on that, it can bring in thoughts of unworthiness, thoughts of not deserving. Well, sure, I know God's able, he can do anything, but for me, I really, truly believe the more we take it personally, what God's already done for us because of Christ's completed work, the more we will take it personally that he's willing to perform his word for us. Think about this. When, you know, how do you feel when, you know, when we're on top of our game, so to speak? You know, we read the Bible, we're spending time in prayer, we're loving and kind to people, we're helping others, we speak God's word to people when we have an opportunity. You know, in those times, how confident do you feel that God's very willing to answer your prayers? On top of my game here. But Other times, when we may fall short, when we might not be our best, when we feel lousy for maybe missing the mark, in those times, how confident are we that God's still very willing to do it for us? I know this is true because God said in 1 John, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence toward God. And what can easily happen is that very subtly, we start thinking that his willingness is based on our actions. You know, the more we do the right things and the better we do them, the more willing he is. And so then when we don't receive from him, we can come up with phrases like, wow, I must be out of fellowship. I'm not doing enough of his word. I haven't spent enough time praying. And the conclusion to all of that kind of thinking is God's willingness to bless us is based on our works, what we do or don't do. And we end up thinking that our worth before him is determined by what we do or don't do. And I want to tell you what, that is not biblical. And secondly, who gets to determine how many works and what type of works it takes for God to then be willing to answer your prayers? Who gets to decide all that? You may remember the section in Romans 8 where it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And it talks about nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, there's no room for works in that section. In Ephesians 6, it says we're acceptable by our works. No, it says he made us acceptable. Ephesians also talks about that we have redemption and forgiveness. Because of our works? No, because of Christ's completed work and God's grace. Romans 6 tells us that eternal life is a gift. You don't work for gifts. Ephesians 2 says, we're saved by grace. Again, no works, no deeds. Look at Romans 3. I was going to just paraphrase Romans 3, but you know what? We ought to just look at it. Romans 3. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds, works, doing everything right, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified or made righteous in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, right now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, this righteousness of God is unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. You worried about sin? The next verse. All have sinned. Join the club. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified or made righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Oh my goodness. How many good works? We're not righteous by our works, but by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. You know, in Galatians chapter 4 and many other places, we read that we are children of God. That means God is our Father. What good father is not willing to give to his children? Remember what Jesus said that's recorded in Matthew 7? He said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Oh my goodness, what a message Jesus taught there. God's our Father. He's very willing to give to his children. All that we've been given as a born-again one, all that we are in God's eyes is because of the completed work of Jesus Christ. So yeah, of course, we ought to do things that are right. But why? To get saved? To make it to heaven? To get forgiveness? So God will love us? To be acceptable in his eyes? To be righteous? No, God's already done all of that and more for us. We do the right things. We do what his word says as a response of gratitude for all that he's already done for us. The more you understand, accept, and believe what God has already done for you, the more out of gratitude your thoughts and actions will be pleasing to God. And the more you understand, accept, and believe what He's already done for you, the more confidence in Him you will have in your prayer life. I really believe the more we take it personally, what He's already done for us, the more we'll take it personally that He's very willing to perform His word for us. God is able and God is willing. His ears are open. He hears our prayers. But again, Scripture does not say God will answer every prayer the way we think it should be answered in the time frame we determine. So, what's our job? Simple. Pray and believe God's words. Many times there are things we just don't know or understand, so we just keep praying. We just keep asking. If our prayer is not answered how or when we think it should, that doesn't mean we're out of an alignment and harmony with God. It doesn't mean, wow, I guess I need to earn more of God's favor. I guess I had to pray more. Just because we don't get an answer the way we think, it doesn't mean He doesn't love us or He's not pleased with us. We just keep praying. I want to read this quote from George Mueller, a man who absolutely believed God big time in the 1800s. And he said many things, if you've read some of his books, said a lot of things about prayer, but here's a quote of his. I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk, when I lie down, and when I rise. And the answers are always coming. Tens of thousands of times have my prayers been answered. When once I'm persuaded that a thing is right, I go on praying for it. The great point is never to give up till the answer comes. The great fault of the children of God is they do not continue in prayer. They do not persevere. If they desire anything for God's glory, they should pray until they get it. It's a great quote. You know, and he says tens of thousands of times. He documented them. He documented every one. And as a little sidebar, what about people who have maybe turned away from God? What does God say about that? Well, a number of places, God very lovingly says in His Word, turn back to Me, and I will bless you. Our job is to pray and then believe that God is able and He is willing. Stop trying to figure God out and instead figure you out. By that I mean believe who He said you are in His sight. Accept His grace. Accept His righteousness. Accept His forgiveness. Accept His love. Of course we don't deserve it. Of course we couldn't earn it. It's because of the completed work of Christ. But the more you see in God's Word and believe who God made you to be, the less you'll struggle with feelings of unworthiness, and the easier it'll be to accept and believe that God is not only able, but He's willing to do it for you. And the more we take it personally, what He's already done for us because of Christ, the more we'll take it personally and believe He's not only able, but willing to perform His word for us. I'd like to close this morning in Psalm 46, if you'd turn there. Psalm 46. I'm so thankful and blessed to share this message this morning on God's ability and His willingness. God is able and God is willing. Psalm 46. God is our refuge. That's pretty good, isn't it? Just those first four words, pretty nice. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, that's pretty dramatic. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Not going to be afraid. There's a river, the streams, whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Then verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I taught this several months ago. Be still. That word be still means to let go. It doesn't mean be quiet, shut your mouth, don't say anything. Be still means to let go or leave off. Cease from your efforts. Come to a place where we're willing to submit ourselves unto God, acknowledging that he is God. Remember what we read in Proverbs? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Be still. Let go. Leave off. Cease from your efforts and know that I am God. It's the acceptance of God who is able. Be still and know that I am God. In verse 10, I'll be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. No matter what lies ahead, no matter what we see or hear, no matter what circumstances we face today or tomorrow, pandemic or no pandemic, be still and know that I am God, because God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Let's pray. Almighty God, our great, wonderful Heavenly Father, we just stand in awe of how great you are. And Father, as human beings, that you would care about us. That, Father, your love would extend that big, your grace would be that great for us, because we simply believed in Jesus. You made it so easy for us. And then on top of that, Father, we're not only saved with salvation, you've given us exceeding great and precious promises. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for eternal life. And Father, may we continue to each day look to you and in all our ways acknowledge you, believing your promises that you will direct our paths, that you will give us wisdom liberally, that you certainly can and will do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Father, it's just humbling to know that you promised all grace to abound to us, that we could always have all sufficiency in all things. How thankful we are for your wonderful word. And Father, may we day by day believe and trust in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Before I unmute, just wanted to say thank you all for joining us in this phone-in fellowship. We will do this again next Sunday, so feel free to give the info to anyone you think might be interested. I'm going to unmute everyone's phone so we can all try, if we can, to say goodbye. Thanks for joining again. God bless you. I love you. You're the best.